The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Right there, so easy to get to on Causeway Boulevard, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon has all new 2018 Cadillacs. Get 0% APR financing for up to 60 months, plus receive $2,000 down payment assistance. The offer runs through the end of the month. All the details are at edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. General Manager Terrell Hopkins, big football fan, big supporter of the podcast, edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. And just west of 275 on Fletcher, that's the beautiful Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa showroom. You've heard from General Manager Brian Danahy right here on the podcast. So much to be proud of with the Ed Morse sponsorship of Ira and all of his work. 70 plus years of Ed Morse across Florida at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. This month, there are many, many great offers. You want to go to edmorsecadillactampa.com. Start your car shopping search right there. And one offer that I love the crossovers. So does Ira. 2018 XT5 is available for $339 a month lease. That expires October 1st. So get to edmorsecadillactampa.com today for all the dealer details. Backed by Morse, everything you get. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. It's backed by Morse, and that means an awful lot. Thanks again to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, and here's Ira.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Happy Thursday. The Ira Kaufman Podcast is on with the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Ira Kaufman. It's game week. We're 3 days from kickoff. Ira Kaufman is in the house, proudly wearing his Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon shirt. Ira, how are you today? You look great, man.
Steve, if you can't get geeks at this time of the year, you know, you're a zombie. You're officially a zombie. T-3 from the season opener. Lee, T-2 from the Crescent City takeover. You know, we're on our way to New Orleans. We're already thinking about it. You know, the food, the fun, the game Sunday. Bucks' longest shot on the board, Lee. 9.5 points. Does that mean they can't win that game? Absolutely not. But they got to play very, very well because they're facing one of the best teams in this league.
Unfortunately, I've been depressed ever since the suspension was announced. I'm trying to, I'll have a good time in New Orleans because, like you said, the food. I'm all about the food. The takeover on Bourbon Street with you and the commish, Justin Pulaski, I'm looking forward to that. I'm dreading the game.
Come on, Lee. Come on. Buck up, Lee. Buck up. You didn't read my Wednesday column, Lee. I gave the key to victory.
You Steve, did.
But kick Breeze in the nuts. That's the way to do it. Kick him in the nuts.
That was the voice of Lee D. Kemper, a man currently depressed slightly. Not yet, though. Not yet. I'm Steve Isbitz. We're JoeBucksFan.com. Ira, it is great to be here with you. Got a few things to get to here. First, it was great to hear those offers from Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon to open the podcast and to hear about their 70-plus years of service. We love them so much and their great support of all your columns. And speaking of your column, two things. One, there was a stat in there that I had never seen before, and it really blew my mind because the focus is always on the offensive side of the ball. And this, I wanted to talk to you about this. Couldn't wait to get to the podcast today. The other thing in the column, though, was you did have a little mistake in
I did, for
a couple hours. I take responsibility because I didn't notice it.
Well, and things can slip through the cracks, Steve. You know, these things happen.
It's not like you misspelled public without a L.
I guess I got to learn the playbook a little bit better. I always screw up Alex Mack's name. I don't understand why. I got like a phobia about it.
It is a tough name.
You know, you got Mack and then Max Unger, you know, but I made a mistake.
No, it's all good. We're just having a little fun with you. The stat in there, for those who didn't see it, great. For those who did see it, Ira knows that Alex Mack plays for the Falcons, and he just flip-flopped him and Max Unger of the Saints, who, of course, they traded Jimmy Graham for
and
years
those
ago.
Two of the better centers in the league, yes. Those two guys.
No Absolutely. Question. Now, Ira, the stat in there, Lee, I don't know if you saw it, but the Buccaneers last year allowed an NFL-high 87 points in the opening quarter. So not only did the offense start slow, the defense let up the most points in the NFL in the first quarter.
That's called a deep dive, Mr. Isbitz, a deep dive. Another nugget for your satisfaction over there.
Something you won't see on Pro Football Focus.
You know, now look, that is a little surprising. But Lee, when you think about Minnesota, Arizona, at New Orleans, those road games, they were beaten up from the start, so it shouldn't be shocking. Now that they led the league in that number, you know, you didn't know that.
This may not be fair to Mike Smith, but I got to be fair. I used to hound Raheem for having rotten game plans. I gave him credit for adjusting on the fly. His defenses were always good in the second half, but his problems were, more often than not, garbage game plans. Well, if you lead the league in most first quarter points allowed, you've got rotten game plans.
And by the way, Steve, you're not going to be happy with this either. They didn't lead the league in the second quarter, but they stunk in the second quarter, too, on defense. They stunk.
Well, I'll give you a stat here.
So, in other words, the first half, the defense didn't show up.
I'll give you a stat since we're talking defense, and I did this last night. And anytime I'm monkeying around with math, it's scary. But Steve, thankfully, is a good editor, and thankfully catches all my math problems.
Well,
and there are
he
many.
Didn't catch my Alex Mack problem over there. Really.
He's done a diety once every 10 years.
And he saved my butt many times. In the last.
He's a good editor, Steve, among other things. But anyway. ESPN projected the Bucks to have the 31st defense in the league, up from 32. Okay. And I wrote in my story, with all the resources they poured in the defense, your linemen, draft picks, trades, if they only go up one air, Mike Smith's out the door in January. There was no excuse for that. Well, I started doing some research. I went just this decade, because you go past 10 years or 8, but you go any farther than that, it's almost like a different game. In any era, I don't care. Just 10-year increments. So I went past the last 8 seasons. What those teams did if they had the 31st defense in the league, average 6 wins. Average 6 wins.
Nice dive over there, DeCampus. So
then of those 8 teams, only 2 had winning records. Only 1 made the playoffs, and that was the Patriots, who got beat by the Giants. That was the only team.
When you said a shocking stat, I thought you were going to talk about when I broke down how often they sacked Breeze, and the fact the Saints are like 1-3 when Breeze gets sacked 3 or 4 times by the Bucks. I thought that's what you were referring to.
No, that didn't shock me at all. But to be the worst in the league, most points allowed in the first quarter.
And we keep focusing on the offense.
And this is a team that last year averaged, Ira, 8.3 points in the first half.
Not quarter, half.
Half. Think of that combination. Now, I want to tie this to Sunday's game, because fans are dialed in, 3 days to go. Mm-hmm. Here's my question for you, Ira, because I was doing not deep research, but deep thinking, sitting on the bowl, doing my thing.
That's too much information, Lee. Too much.
This is from the man who told us once he brings in the big giant stats and information book and comes out 12 minutes later from his business.
35 minutes. I continue.
18 if you had a lot of beats.
Never mind that, right, Ira?
Never mind that. What's your question, Steve?
Here's my question is, Dirk Koetter, now think about this, okay? Logic is going to prevail here. Dirk Koetter, when the coin flip goes, he likes to defer, right? So he likes to give the ball to the other team who's scoring the most points in the league in the first quarter on his defense.
So he can make a statement on defense, a statement.
If that's your team's breakdown, hey, we give up the most points in the league in quarter number 1, and we struggle to score in the first half, wouldn't you want to flip that? Wouldn't you want to start taking the ball?
We'll see what happens in New Orleans should they win the coin toss, Lee. Most coaches defer, and I just think it's almost an automatic thing. I don't even think they're thinking of, hey, we'll defer. We want the ball in the third quarter.
Right. Yeah.
We want the ball in the third quarter. Sometimes they don't even, it's not even a question of weather. Yeah, it's just like, we're going into this game. If we win the coin toss, we're taking it in the third quarter. And I'm with Steve on this one. Make a freaking statement with your offense. You got all these weapons. Put them out there. Boom. Get ahead of the Saints. Don't fall behind the Saints. That's a problem.
That's right. Now, up until now, I never had an issue with deferring. I'll tell you in a second why. But not knowing until just now how awful they were in the fourth quarter. I was aware that they had, at Arizona, at Minnesota, at New Orleans, they got lit up in the first quarter, but I didn't know it was that bad. And Dirk is always talking about how he gets reams of information, statistical gibberish, stacks every day. And even at the combine, he joked with me. I said something like, well, I'm sure you have the stats on this. And he looked at me with his eyes bugged out. And he goes, too much stats. And so I know he gets all this information daily. How that slipped past him, I don't know. But here's why I like deferring, except for now. Now is a different story. Now, like Steve said, you need the ball in the first half because your defense coughs it up so much in the first quarter. Years ago, Bobby Bowden always said, I want that ball to start the second half. I want to get ahead. You know, he would always be ahead or in the game. His philosophy was, I want the ball more in the second half because I could bury a team.
He had better players than the other guy.
Thank you. He had better players. But he was right. You bury a team doing that. If you got, you know, with his teams, you can go up like 30, 40 points with the ball in first, you know, the start of the second half. So I never had an issue with that. And I thought Bowden was one of the first coaches to do that.
So he wants to reinforce his halftime lead. He's got a halftime lead.
Yeah, exactly. We're talking a different animal here. You know, now that I know that, I understand why people, you'd see it on Twitter, people complaining, here we go, deferring again.
You know, Steve, Lee made this point about the reams of information, and I think he's right, that comes across Dirk Cutter's desk every week.
Daily.
In the preparation, yeah, daily. And I suggested in my columns, well, maybe simplistic, I understand. You know, there's other factors, can the Bucks run the ball and this and that, can the O-line hold up? But, Lee, I tried to make the case. It's very unlikely you are going to walk out of the Superdome on Sunday victorious if you don't beat up Drew Brees. If you don't beat him up, he's going to carve you out. Mm-hmm. That's what he does, especially at home. Now, Lee, you were at the game. When did they beat him up? They beat him up 2 years ago in Tampa. They made the Saints look bad.
Yeah.
He didn't score a touchdown that day.
Which is
and
rare.
And for Sean Payton and Drew Brees, very, very rare. How did they do it? They put a rush on him. Mm-hmm. Somehow, Smith got a rush. Now, that game was at home.
Yeah.
It's a little easier, you know, noise factor, but Brees has seen it all. But that day, the Bucs had a heck of a pass rush. And I looked it up, Lee, the last game last year where the Bucs, you know, Jameis pulled that game out of his butt with that last-minute touchdown. Brees was he was sacked twice. He was only hit two other times the whole game.
Mortal.
They scored 24 points. You know, they had the lead in the final 20 seconds. They got to do better, Lee. Pierre Paul, you got to show up. If the Saints have a weak spot on a very good offensive line, it's at left tackle.
Yeah.
Armstead, he's just the guy. This is your left tackle. Pierre Paul usually plays right defensive end, usually, although he moves around. Pierre Paul's got to have a big game. That's going to help McCoy have a big game.
Everybody.
And you're not going to blitz as much. Lavani can play pass defense, a la Derek Brooks. I'm not trying to compare him to Brooks. When the Bucks had Simeon Rice, you know, and Sapp, Derek Brooks didn't blitz. He never blitzed.
You're right.
That's why he didn't put up a big sack total in his career. Not like some of these outside linebackers. He's not Kevin Green. He's a different kind of outside linebacker.
Not LT.
Play him in coverage. And you know what? Last point I'm going to make about this game, we'll talk about it more, but Kamara. Kamara is a monster. There's no question about it. Now, they don't have Ingram, so Kamara might even touch the ball even more. They just picked up a running back. He used to be with the Patriots, Galissi. He's not even in camp. He don't even know the place. Can't expect much. So Kamara kills you with those swing passes like they used to do with Sproles.
Yes.
Peyton's tremendous at getting these guys in space. Maybe the Bucs got to do that with Ronald Jones if he can catch those swing passes. Yes. But anyway, Lee, is it crazy to maybe put a spy on Kamara?
You mean like David? Maybe David?
You mean like they did on Julio Jones? Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, you see, here comes this bits out of left field. Boom, boom, boom.
He's not wrong.
But, Steve, you got to beat up Brees. You got to make him bruised after this game. You can't be going for gumbo and crawfish at Touffet at 7 o'clock at night at Emeralds. You can't let him do it. I'm not saying you got to put him in the hospital, Steve, but you got to beat him up. Wasn't that the whole offseason plan? Get to him.
You know, only the Ira Kaufman podcast will you get a shrimp etouffee.
I said crawfish. Crawfish etouffee.
Crawfish etouffee.
Crawfish etouffee.
All right, Sage, I wanted to run this past you, and I'm not blowing you off, but some might say it's obvious, but you got to find a way to do it. They've done it before. That's the thing. I think the point you're making is they've done this when they beat the Saints without Mike Smith in 2015. It was Jaquez Smith with three sacks. He was on NFL Network week two as the NFL sack leader.
And also the game in Tampa in 2016, the Buck defense was spectacular that day.
Yeah, that's the one you were talking about.
Well, Mike Smith was there in 2016.
When they didn't have a touchdown. No, everybody knew what you were talking about there. It's the big, great challenge of this game. Now, I got to ask both of you guys, because a lot of fans and Vegas believe that this game is a shootout. And that's how the Bucks are going to have to win games this year. Doesn't mean you still don't have
probably because they got the Saints scoring 31 points. That makes it a shootout.
It doesn't mean that you don't have to pressure Drew Brees. However, do you guys think the Bucks can win a game here scoring 31 points? That's in their DNA for this week?
I don't see it. First of all, the Saint defense, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. I think it's top half of the league. When you combine that with, you know, a hellacious offense, so that's why they won 11 games last year and should have beat the Vikings in the playoff game. Should have beat them. So the Saints are formidable, you know, strong contender to win the division again. So, you know, with Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know what? To me, the Buck game plan should be a healthy dose of Peyton Barber. Keep Breeze off the field. Keep that clock running. Now, that sounds good. But, you know, you got to get your 120 yards rushing as a team. I'm not putting it all on Peyton Barber. But you got to run the ball 30 times and get 125 yards. And then you give yourself a chance. I don't like the idea of entertaining a shootout with Fitzpatrick and Breeze. I don't think that's a formula.
If it's a shootout, that means the Bucs are desperate. It's sort of like Arizona a couple years ago. Or last year at Arizona. The Bucs were down, 30 points? They had no choice but to go shootout. To get back to something you were saying earlier about Drew Brees, what does Mike Smith and other coaches, Mike Smith's not alone, but what is the first thing Mike Smith always talks about with Brees? Get him off his mark.
Oh, get him off his mark. Get him off his mark. Yeah. You don't have to put him down. You don't have to put him down.
No, move him. In my eyes, if the Bucs hold the Saints to 24 points, they're doing excellent because of Brees. If they got him to 24 points, I'm okay with that because you should be in the ballgame. If you only let up 24 points, when I say only, it's because of the Saints.
Not 34, 24.
Yeah, 2-4.
The Saints have started slow the last 3 or 4 years, Steve. They've started slow as a team. Maybe the Bucs can capitalize on that.
Sage, outside of the pass rush, which you've clearly, and pressuring Breeze, give me the other biggest thing you're looking for in this game from the Bucs.
I want 90 yards from Barber. I want 90 yards. I'm not trusting Ronald Jones. I think he's going to get about 6 touches in this game. Quiz will get 5. I want 90 yards from Barber. What that's going to do, it's going to slow the game down, Lee. On the road, that's important. Those fans are maniacal over there, especially if the Saints are ahead. They smell blood.
Oh, yeah.
Buck blood. You know, bury them. Put your foot on their
neck.
They've
had a few Bloody Marys in the quarter.
You know, if you're 2nd and 6 and 3rd and 2s, it's manageable for Fitzpatrick. I don't want Cam Jordan flying off the left edge against Lamar Dotson on 3rd and 9. I think that's a losing proposition. So I'm focusing on Peyton Barber on the offensive side.
Lee, give me two quick ones you're looking for.
Who's playing left tackle? Real quick, who's playing? We don't know that. We don't know that.
Yeah, we don't know that. Yeah,
that's a key because the last thing you want is a rookie like Davenport going nuts on you.
And you know what? If they got Lidke at left tackle, maybe they move Cam Jordan to right defensive end. That could happen.
And now here's something, but let's just say I was in contact with someone with the Bucs who I will refer to as should know what he's talking about.
He never reveals his Bucs sources. He's like Bob Woodward with the White House. Never reveals his Bucs sources, Steve.
That's just being fair.
You may continue.
This individual told me the team in general, suits and coaches, were sick over Ronald Jones' preseason. Not because they were disappointed in him. They didn't think he had a prayer to succeed at anything.
You know, I think there's some truth to that.
If that's true, and I'm expecting him to get the ball a couple of times at least. If he breaks off a run, that could be a game changer. He breaks off a run or two, that could be a game changer.
Ronald Jones is here for those 1 or 2 plays a game where you pick up yards in a hurry. Mm-hmm. He's got to be able to do that. He's not here to grind out 4 yards.
That's not his game.
I think we've just, in 2 minutes, and based on Lee's conversation, I believe Lee and his source completely. It's just that's disturbing to me. We've just lowered the bar on Ronald Jones big time, basically saying he's not a number one back kind of guy. And that's why they drafted him number 38 overall in this draft. To me, that's a little bit of Doug Martin disease when you watch the guy carry like Jones did 28 times and get 22 yards and say, oh, he didn't have a chance. Baloney.
You're right.
But it's too early. It's too small.
Because we said that about Martin up to a point the last couple of years. Like, he didn't have a chance. The street guys on him.
We didn't say that.
And Isbitz doesn't want to hear that. I said it.
You said it.
I said it.
But just this morning I heard someone say about Doug Martin, or wrote, I should say, on JoeBucksFan.com, a commenter like, well, if you only had an offensive line, like, give me a break. He had the worst in 83 years.
Barber's running behind a line and getting 5 yards. So,
but it is fair, Ronald Jones, if he gets his 2 series, let's say, in this game and 5 carries, he'll get a little shot behind the first team offensive line. I think even if he gets 18 yards on 5 carries, he'll build some confidence big time after this ugly preseason. And he's a rookie. He's a rookie. We promoted a big announcement, Ira, in the headline of this podcast and in the intros. And I don't want anyone to think we've ignored it because it is huge and it'll be more fun to talk about next week, but it's coming. This big announcement is coming and we're going to talk about it right after these words from fanretreat.com. They are the architects of the Bourbon Street takeover, which of course by now, if you're not going to New Orleans, you better hurry up. Go to fanretreat.com, log in to Popular Retreats, and you can see all the festivities. Now, no matter how you're getting to New Orleans, Manning's Sports Bar, which I don't know if you guys realize is affiliated with Archie Manning.
Yeah, that's a family, yeah.
Manning Sports Bar in New Orleans.
Close to the quarter.
Absolutely. It's also affiliated with the casino, and it looks pretty nice. We haven't heard that it's the award-winning New Orleans food, but I'm sure it's fine, and we're excited to be there. Manning Sports Bar, 5 o'clock, kicks off on Saturday. Ira will be there, Lee, Justin Pulowski, the Stick Carriers, loads of Bucks fans gathering for a pep rally-ish kind of send-off to the weekend of a great evening and excitement rolling right into the game. Now, details are at fanretreat.com. Now, you can buy all your Buccaneers tickets, baseball tickets, hockey tickets, every event, everywhere in the country on fanretreat.com, just like you would somewhere else. But the bonus of fanretreat.com, aside from their great ticket prices, is you can book a hotel room. You can buy your flights. You can get a rental car. Fanretreat.com. Use your Joe Bucks fan discount code. Hey, if you just want opening day tickets for the Bucks against the Eagles, you're fired up. You want to see if they win on Sunday and you want to get a ticket, go to fanretreat.com. Check it out. All right, Ira, the big news, and we'll only talk about it here for a minute because we can talk more about it next week after everybody sees the initial works here. The big news is, drum roll, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Ira Kaufman, will be joining Derek Brooks for weekly video production produced by the Identity Tampa Bay, which you've probably heard about, affiliated with the Tampa Bay Sports and Entertainment Group, run by Jeff Vinnick, and they own the Lightning and all that. The Identity Tampa Bay, Ira and Derek Brooks, brand new show every week. You'll see it twice a week on JoeBucksFan.com and at the Identity Tampa Bay and in their newsletter, which you need to subscribe to. Ira, this is fantastic that we were able to pull this Joe Bucks Fan production together. You and Mr. Brooks, Hall of Fame, your thoughts?
Guys, you are relentless in your business opportunities, your pursuit of spreading the Joe Bucks Fan brand and to connect with Jeff Vinnick and his enterprises. I mean, that says it all in Tampa. He's reshaping this whole community. And now you guys have a business connection. I can't wait to get in a room with Brooks. This is like, you know, from the sublime to the ridiculous, from Brooks to Kaufman. But you know what? It's going to work. It's going to be a good combination. Look, I've interviewed Derek Brooks, you know, a million times. He's helped me with the other Hall of Fame presentations. We talked about his Hall of Fame presentation. And I'll never forget, you know, Brooks has a way of boiling down, you know, complex issues. I remember going into his office a couple of months before he was up for a Hall of Fame election. And I go, Brooks, you know, this is a rollover. No, nobody's got anything negative to say about you. You know, I can get up there and say Derek Brooks and I can sit down. I can do a Jerry Rice or a Jim Brown thing. And he goes, Ira, somebody's got to tell the story. And that said it all. Somebody's got to tell the Derek Brooks story. So I did for 6 minutes. You know, and what a story. First, the guy never missed a game. The guy was fantastic, you know, and he defined a position. You know, you add those things up, boom, case closed, you move on to the next guy. And I can't wait to be working with Brooks every week. And what are we going to be talking about? Your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We're not going to be talking about the 02 Bucks. We're going to be talking about the 2018 Bucks. And to get the insight from a Hall of Famer who still watches this team very, very closely and has relationships with players on the current team, I think that's going to be invaluable and a lot of fun for Bucks fans.
All right, there will be an official rollout of the name of the show probably within hours after this podcast posts. Also, Ira, so everybody knows, there will be a fan Q&A segment for you and Brooks and another show just sort of previewing what's going on the team leading into the next week's game. We are very excited, and this will be all over the place. So I'm happy for you, Ira, because we know that the bottom line is more money in your pocket makes you a happy man.
I got to go buy more sports coats over here, Lee. I got another three coats to buy. Dylan's here I come, my friend.
Oh, I thought it was Joseph A. Bank.
Joseph A. Bank. And, you know, I start on Fox Sports Sunday Sunday.
Fox Sports Sunday, usually 10:30. But check your local listings, as they like to say, and we'll tweet that out. Fox Sports Tailgate Sunday with Scott Smith. You'll be live at the Superdome.
And Ricky Reynolds.
Yep. From the floor of the Superdome.
I will be live with Scott Smith. Reynolds will be in studio. That's right.
Now remember, when you're finished with your live spot, you can't be wandering to the Glazers. They talk to you about that.
They watch me like a hawk, Lee. They put a time limit on my stamp over there where it says pregame field. It says eight minutes. I got the Buck PR staff watching me with the binoculars over there.
All right, Ira, back to the game. Let me lead this to you now. Yes, it's fluffy, sort of hogwash, but your sage opinion is important as it relates to this. Bucks put out their official week one depth chart, and Caleb Benenach, somebody chose him to be the right guard.
I saw that.
As the number one right
and your
guard.
Your man, Evan Smith, wasn't listed at guard, period.
He's listed as the backup center. Vernon Hargraves listed as the starting cornerback. MJ Stewart is behind Carlton Davis on that depth chart, and for some reason, somebody placed a number two receiver, co-starter, Chris Godwin and DeSean Jackson. So is that just all a bunch of paperwork, or does it mean anything?
Well, on the DeSean Jackson, Chris Godwin thing, I got to give DeKemper some props here, because he made a strong point last year when we were asking Cutter what's going on with the connection or the lack of a connection between Winston and DeSean Jackson. And Cutter would always say, Jackson's open. Jackson's doing his job. We couldn't hit him. Sometimes the protection broke down. It was a bad pass or whatever. Somebody else got open, and we threw it to the short receiver. But DeKemper was strong saying, and both of you guys were saying it, like, part of that could be you can't be taking any swipes at DeSean Jackson. You got to keep him involved. You got to keep him engrossed. He's a veteran. With a diva reputation, although we didn't see that side of him. I got to give him a lot of credit. I thought he handled things very well last year, Jackson, like a pro. So here we are. Now you got to put out a depth chart. Who puts out number two receivers behind Mike Evans? Well, the Bucks do. And why? Because you're tempted to put Godwin there, and DeSean Jackson's going to look at that depth chart and going to say, that doesn't mean he's not going to play football, but he's going to like, hey, what's going on over here? They paid me all this money. They targeted me in free agency in 2017. Now I got this kid from Penn State, caught 30 balls, and all of a sudden he's ahead of me. So I think that's part of the thing.
Well, that's interesting you said. First of all, thanks for the compliment, but I thought you were going to go somewhere else. I also said about Godwin, like, okay, Jameis is having this issue with DeSean Jackson. Why is he not having an issue with anyone else, including Godwin? So I thought you were going to go there, but
I don't think it matters. The depth chart. I don't think it matters that wide receiver what's listed. I really don't.
You made a very interesting point, and again, thank you. I thought part of Cutter saying that, well, DeSean's was open, is because he had to butter up DeSean.
You don't want to lose DeSean Jackson.
Yeah, and Jameis would say he's right. I am garbage, So Jameis could take it. I don't know about DeSean Jackson, but look how beautifully, if that was Cutter's target, if that was his goal. DeSean Jackson, I hate to use this word because Jack Ham said it's rhetoric, but he's turned into a team leader. The way he talks to the team now, the way he worked out with Jameis throughout the summer where he could have been hanging in California, he didn't do that. And even Cutter remarked at training camp how DeSean Jackson's kind of, taking a role with the team. And so the point you bring up, I think Cutter handled that beautifully.
I also noticed that they have a two tight end alignment, at least as starters listed. And why shouldn't you with those two tight ends?
Yeah, that's sort of that almost fully. Yeah, that's sort of like the template that they use across the NFL.
With one running back. Yeah,
right.
With one running back. That's right.
But all right, Sage, wanted your take on that. A little quick plug, if you haven't listened yet, which I know I would bet $1,000 you haven't, Ira. On my Monday podcast, the Monday Morning Joe, I did include audio of my one-on-one with DeSean Jackson and him talking about his speed and his changing gears and stuff you had talked to Andy Reid about. So there. So you.
I love this open dialogue between Isbitz and DeSean Jackson. There's mutual respect there. I'll have to talk.
Well, it helps that Steve keeps asking about Hall of Fame.
Yeah, yeah, he keeps bringing it up. He points to, you know, you see this guy? He's 0 for 5 with Lynch. He might be making the call for you.
Well,
there.
Sage, let me tell you this. Well, that's true. Yeah, it is. I did. Oh, anyway.
Did you mention that?
I don't think there's mutual respect. He just, you know, whatever. You know, if DeSean Jackson this year catches 900 yards.
Very doable.
Very doable. Almost likely, if he's healthy, he's 40th all time in the NFL in yards receiving.
He's not retiring yet. He's got another few years left.
He told me, and if you go listen to that audio, Ira, he still believes he can be top 3, 4, 5 in speed. His speed is still elite in this league, and I can't wait to see it. Imagine if let's just take a Bucs fan deep breath here. Imagine if they find the deep ball this year with Jackson, that he can rip the cover off. It would change everything.
You know, it's also interesting in that respect. You know, I don't know that this is going to happen, but suppose DeSean Jackson, you know, in the first three games, catches four passes of 40 or more yards with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Now, now it's on.
You're trying to get me going here.
And the Winston skeptics will be coming out of the woodwork, Lee. I mean, it's interesting.
They're just chomping at the bit for the Bucs to let him go.
All right, I am going to pin you all down on predictions for this game. But first prediction is, I think, a fun one. DeSean Jackson, does he return a punt or multiple punts on Sunday? Lee?
Yes.
Sage?
Yes, the game you got to win. You got to make your stamp. Yes, DeSean Jackson. I want the ball in his hands.
I think so, too, and I hope so, and I think it'll be...
He wants to do it.
I think it's going to be exciting as hell. Exciting as hell, and I think... I hope we see it.
The question is, will the Bucs force a punt? That might be the question. next, baby.
All right, Ira. Well, you know what?
I just said that to get the Kemper, get a laugh out of the Kemper.
No, that was too much fun. I wanted to go to Vegas, right?
And we all do.
You for varieties of reasons. You put out that tweet yesterday. I appreciate you taking that tact, sharing with the masses at Twitter, iKaufman76. You tweeted your tiny sliver of your chat with Ali Marpet, where you said to him, "Hey, Ali, you know, 9.5 underdog.
You got no love, nothing.
That's the biggest dog in the league this weekend, division game." And Marpet said, "I don't care. And I don't care what any media has to say." And, you know, you're feeling on this big underdog spot here. Do you think Dirk Koetter, because he's a guy who's sort of lectured the team on, oh, you know, don't read the press clippings and you read too much of this and cared too much about that. Look what happened last year. Do you think he even tells this team that, hey, you're the biggest underdog in the league?
Of course. Of course. He'd be foolish not to. I mean, it's another tool in your toolbox. You use it. You use the no respect card. Boy, what a contrast from a year ago. Because, look, they opened at home with the Storm. They opened at home with Chicago. And the Bucs were expected to win that opener. And they did. They played very well. And the Bears were terrible that day. They were. And a year ago, the Bucs were the little darlings. Ooh, they might win the division, says somebody. You know, the Ian Rappaports of the world and Lock and Fours and... maybe even Prickly Pete Prisco and whatever. And, you know, Hard Knocks came in. The Bucs were getting some publicity, some national love. And the biggest thing is they were coming off a 9-7 season. You know, with Jameis Winston was healthy at that time, not suspended at that time. Weapons, you know, DeSean Jackson's added to the mix. And we all know what happened. But a year ago, you couldn't play the no respect card. Now you got it. Mm-hmm. Boy, I'm throwing that right on the table. All week long, Lee. All week long. Don't you think Cutter's going to do that, Lee?
I'm sure he already has. Yeah. You know, I get along with Dirk. I like Dirk, but I could tell he doesn't care for the media too much. I've heard stories about he was at war with him in Arizona when he was Arizona State coach. So you know he's loving to stoke that fire.
And the point is, nobody outside this building thinks we have a chance.
No.
In this game and in this season. And that's it.
All right, then we'll lead right to your picks. But first, Ira, let me say this. So your podcast is available. iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, subscribe. That's the best way to listen. You get a free pop-up. And leave a review on. You can do that on iTunes.
Good or Podbean. Bad, leave it. Good
leave
or bad.
Review's a review. Right? We were trying not to influence, even though only leave the good ones, please. And edmorescadillactampa.com. EdmoresCadillacBrandon.com. Those are the websites. Start your car shopping search there. Mention Ira Kaufman, and that's a good thing to do. I can't say they'll get a free anything, but mention Ira Kaufman. Tremendous service at Edmore. 70-plus years serving as a family dealership across the state of Florida. Now, Ira, your pick in the game. Give me a score, Ira. A score and a one-liner, baby.
I'd love to pick the Bucks, Lee. Can't do it, although I don't think they're going to start 0-3. Let me get that out there right now. And you know, right now, I think they're going to win week two against Philly. But this is a tall order. Now, the Saints have started slowly the last 3 years. It's a pattern. You know, 0-2, 0-3. And I don't, they don't have Ingram. But I think the Bucks play pretty well. But they lose 27-23. They make a valiant effort and come up a little short.
34-24, New Orleans. I believe this defense is fixed when I see it.
All right, Ira. I am going to pick the Bucks because I have said that I thought this was their best chance to win, so this is my best chance to pick them as I see it right here. Now, I'm going to go 30-28 Bucks, and I'm assuming, which is a huge assumption, perhaps the biggest this year, I'm assuming that the field goal kicker is legit and can kick, that Catanzaro can actually hit 40-something yard field goals with regularity.
What about extra points?
Well, let's not get carried away, Lee. Let's not get carried away.
But the Bucks walk out with a win.
I'm going to say this is their spot to steal it. They'll never be healthier. And New Orleans not being good at home, that's opening day. That's not a coincidence.
And you're basing it all on Evan Smith starting at right guard. That I understand that.
All right, get out of here, Ira. Congratulations on the new show. And we'll see you next week. Fly safely, the two of you, up to New Orleans. FanRetreat.com if you want information. Manning Sports Bars, where these two gentlemen will be 5 o'clock on Saturday. If you want to buy them drinks, they are very willing to accept them.